And at this point, I would like you to give a very warm welcome to our party leader, Tom Elliott.
Mr. Chairman, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for that tremendous welcome. And I must say that it gives me a huge sense of honour when I hear a welcome like that in the Ulster Unionist Party. It gives me a great sense of honour when I actually see the people that's here today. Great sense of honour for this party, being an Ulster Unionist all my life. And actually, I had a session with the Assembly candidates, just yesterday afternoon. And let me tell you, folks, they are, for this Ulster Unionist Party, they are winners, just as we are winners. But it gives me a great sense of honour when I actually look around this room and see people that have been lifelong members of this party who haven't given up. People like Tom Fleming and Victor Emerson and those people who have been lifelong committed members, and there's many more, and just because they don't get what they want in one day, they don't run off. It's those type of people that are committed to this party and committed to this province that I want and that this party needs and that Northern Ireland wants. But I would like to welcome you here to the 2010 Ulster Unionist Party Conference. And it is with no small amount of pride and gratitude that I stand before you today as the 14th leader of this great Ulster Unionist Party. And as I look back at our record and achievements, I recognise the responsibility and trust that you have passed to me. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Sir Reg Empey. Sir Reg served his country, this party, for over 40 years unswervingly and has played a fundamental role in securing the Union, the establishment of the Northern Ireland Assembly and Executive. And I congratulate him on his elevation to the House of Lords, and I know that he will be a strong and valuable voice for Northern Ireland in the mother of all parliaments. Thank you, Sir Reg. I would also like to pay tribute to Basil McRae, my opponent in a recent leadership election. And I'm sure most of you will agree with me, and nobody will deny it, and I'll not, that on occasions it was a fairly lively campaign, to put it mildly. But we are now working together, and I thank Basil for his commitment and time to help secure, and his commitment and hard work to this party. Thank you, Basil. And since this is my first speech as party leader, and I suppose one of the few times that I have had the opportunity to address the party conference, I thought it would be the ideal platform to tell you something about me and my beliefs. I am a unionist, an unembarrassed and unapologetic unionist. I'm not just a rural unionist, I'm not just a west of the ban unionist, or an orange unionist, or this or that unionist. I'm purely a unionist, like all of us here. And I am a unionist by choice and conviction. And I believe that the social, economic, political, constitutional, historic and cultural beliefs of the Union of Great Britain and Northern Ireland outweigh the benefits of any other constitutional arrangements. And if you agree with me on those sentiments, then I don't actually care if you're a Protestant, a Roman Catholic, an atheist, agnostic, black, white, male or female. My unionism is not determined by religion, race or background. My unionism is open to anyone and everyone who lives in Northern Ireland and supports that process. My unionism... My unionism is founded on pluralism and on equality of citizenship and opportunity. My unionism is one which sets out the value and benefits of the United Kingdom. So let no one try to say that Tom Elliott is some sort of a political dinosaur, for I am not. At one stage in my life, I wore a uniform. And that was a legitimate uniform. Not a red beret. And... And in fact, my uniform was the same as the one that our brave men and women are wearing today in Afghanistan. And as we head towards Christmas, I'm sure that you all will join with me in extending our sincerest thanks to all those men and women who are serving overseas in our name. And we will all be aware that a number of our young soldiers have not come back. And I pay special tribute to Ranger Aaron McCormick of the 1st Battalion of the Royal Irish Regiment, whose funeral is today. And we do remember his family and all those. I wore my uniform to uphold law and order and to protect everyone. I am proud of that service and even prouder of the sacrifice that was made by my colleagues. But that background did not deter me from building a power-sharing government with people who I would have regarded as my enemies. Yes, it was a difficult journey, but it was a journey made possible by the fact that I have never believed in an insular, closed-door unionism. There is something else you need to know about me. I will not do something or say something or turn up somewhere just for the sake of a photo opportunity or a pat on the back or an interest group or a section of the media. I will not dilute or diminish my deep-seated beliefs simply to pretend that I am something that I am not. And to put it bluntly, I would rather... I would rather be judged for my honesty and integrity than be judged on my willingness to get applause. This leads me on to consider who we are as a party. The Ulster Unionist Party that I joined was a party based on principles of honesty, responsibility, vision, and a dedication to delivery. These are still the principles that I stand for, and these are the principles that I will lead this party by. In today's Northern Ireland, these principles matter more than ever. I know that there are people in Northern Ireland who will never be won over to unionism, and I accept that. Their passion for a united Ireland is every bit as valid as my passion for a united kingdom. But I have absolutely no difficulty with their determination to promote their beliefs, as long as that promotion is done by democratic means. But there is one thing we all have to accept. Whatever our differences may be over the United Kingdom versus the United Ireland, our collective duty must be to ensure that Northern Ireland is governed as well as it should be. The ongoing economic turbulence will continue to take its toll. So the task of the Assembly and the Executive is to ensure that we meet the needs, demands and expectations of everyone, irrespective of their personal circumstances or constitutional beliefs. Let's face it, a recession is no respecter of class, religion or occupation. It hits everyone and it hits them hard. If power sharing means anything, then it means that we are all in this together. It means that the political parties must work together and present a combined approach. It means that we have a coherent, overarching strategy to deal with the impact of an economic crisis that is likely to be with us for another few years. You cannot talk about a shared society and common responsibility when you have a government which is built on carve-up and veto. You cannot expect to break down barriers across Northern Ireland when the Sinn Féin DUP failure has proven that they are utterly incapable of reaching their own compromises on a range of key issues. Right now, people need and deserve politicians who put the public interests before their own narrow party political interests. They deserve politicians who are honest with them, not a party that claims to want to end double jobbing and then cynically do a U-turn. Politicians who are responsible in government, not a party which delays the agreement of our budget for their own narrow political ends. And politicians with vision, they deserve a party that is thinking about our future to ensure that we come out of this crisis in a better position, with a growing private sector, with more jobs, and with greater social mobility. They deserve a party that is dedicated to delivery. Both Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness have become very fond of telling us how good their working relationship is. And it's hardly surprising, as the whole thing was based on the equivalent of a shotgun marriage at St Andrews and changed the arrangements and mechanisms to suit themselves. And they also like to tell us about the benefits that the Executive and Assembly have brought to Northern Ireland since their marriage of convenience in May 2007. Isn't it odd, then, that poll after poll indicates that the level of disengagement and disconnect between the Assembly and the electorate is at its highest level ever? When they talk about Northern Ireland being a better place today than it was 20 years ago, they forgot to mention that the DUP did everything it could to stop progress when the Ulster Unionists were trying to make it happen. They also forgot to mention that there is no agreement on the budget to tackle our economic crisis. There is still no agreement on the reform of public administration, still no agreement on the education transfer test. And I wish the DUP would stop claiming that they have saved academic selection. It was saved because the grammar schools themselves opted out to do their own thing, not anybody else. The policing and justice agreement remains unfinished business, and negotiations, let me tell you, are due to start in 2012. If we thought we had enough negotiations, we're going to have more. The Sinn Féin DUP shared future strategy has been rejected by almost every other party and interest group. We have even lost the potential for a national stadium. And the much-awaited parades bill has been hidden away with the deserved embarrassment. What we have today is a carve-up in government. It's supposed to be cooperative, consensual, power-sharing government. It's not. It's a DUP Sinn Féin failure. We need change at the heart of the process. We need greater accountability of ministers, both individually and collectively. When Mr. Robinson reeled off a list of executive achievements last Saturday, he forgot to mention the fact that many of those achievements were the work of Ulster Unionist Party ministers. It's no coincidence that the Minister for Health, Social Services and Public Safety is the only government department to implement its review of public administration. It's no coincidence that the Department of Employment and Learning has overseen record levels of participation in higher education from people from socially deprived backgrounds. We also continue to ensure that universities retain their world-class status. It is because they have been led by Ulster Unionists who are dedicated to delivery, and I would at this stage like to thank Michael McGimsey, Soraya Jempe, and more recently Danny Kennedy for their record of achievement. Imagine what the Assembly would be like if we were not around, working tirelessly to make that meaningful change. Yet the Assembly needs proper voluntary coalition with a cross-community basis, which requires an appropriate opposition. The foundation stone of democracy is that a government be held to account both inside and outside. The electorate need a choice between an outgoing government and a possible alternative. It boils down to this. You cannot build a consensual, genuine, power-sharing Northern Ireland upon the specific interests of Sinn Féin and the DUP. It isn't working and it won't work. The Ulster Unionist Party has a proud identity and history, which I am not prepared to lose or damage. With its values and vision, it also has great opportunities for the future. There is a responsibility for pro-union parties working to maximise votes and seats, and cooperating when required to preserve, protect and promote our common interests. I don't want to see seats lost because unionism is too set in its ways to cooperate and recommend vote transfer. But let me tell you, folks, I will not be pressurised by any party into creating a sham, short-lived, self-serving unity. So, yes, I am happy to talk with other unionist parties about ways in which we don't damage the chances of winning seats and votes. But let me be clear. Under my leadership, the Ulster Unionist Party will be a freestanding party. We will field our own candidates under our own colours and policies, and those candidates and representatives will be accountable to their own associations and the Ulster Unionist Party and its executive. And as someone who has always accepted that unionism needs to be a two-way process, and at its best when it is firmly anchored in all parts of the United Kingdom, I recognise the need for a strong link with a national party. This is neither the time nor the platform for a discussion about a relationship with the Conservative Party. That said, I will continue to work to ensure that the Ulster Unionist Party retains a linkage that is beneficial to Northern Ireland community with the Conservative Party. We have many interests in common, and not least the shared belief of a pan-UK unionism. I also want to say, folks, that we need to stop trying to reinvent and reposition ourselves and concentrate instead on reminding people of what we have done and what we can do. We are the party of delivery. When the DUP walked away, we stayed. It was the Ulster Unionist Party that put Articles 2 and 3 on the negotiating table, ensuring that their final removal spent the end of the territorial claim. The Union is stronger and safer now because of the work of the Ulster Unionist Party. We built the Assembly, nurtured the institutions, and laid the foundations for political and economic recovery. Let no one in this party forget that, and let no one in this party remain quiet when the DUP and others try now to claim the credit for all that we did. I was quite struck by a phrase last week that Peter Robinson used when he said, "Our values and core beliefs remain." Are those the same core values that were displayed at Clontibret? I just asked that, and I'm sure most of you here remember that. Because if they are, those are not the values of this Ulster Unionist Party. Mr. Chairman, Ulster Unionists are still setting the agenda. As the Prime Minister has acknowledged, it was the Ulster Unionist Party and my colleague Soraya Jempe who led the fight to rescue savers in the Presbyterian Mutual Society. We will continue to force this issue to a fair and just solution. We have led the debate to vary corporation tax. Northern Ireland has great businesses. We have an excellent education system, brilliant entrepreneurs, and some world-class infrastructure. However, without the right business environment, we will not take the next step of being the dynamic and expanding region that I know we can be. The Ulster Unionist Party will continue to set the agenda. We will foster the environment for a dynamic and growing private sector. But Northern Ireland doesn't need the stalemate and carve-up. It needs good government with parties working together with an overarching strategy. And we have to work together. The Ulster Unionist Party has coalition at its core, and we delivered on it. I have two young children, and I want to build a Northern Ireland for them that is based on a genuinely shared future. I want them to grow up in a settled Northern Ireland within the Union that everyone is content to be part of. I want them to respect and understand people from different cultures, and I want them to live in a prosperous, open and welcoming place. Such a future will not just appear from nowhere. We as a party know more than most the effort, commitment and bravery it takes to build a better Northern Ireland. It takes more than is on offer from the Sinn Féin DUP carve-up. And with an ever-increasing dissident threat, nobody can be complacent. No single party can create a platform and agenda for itself based on its own selfish interests. We are all in this together. Moving on to the elections, we are now just 152 days away from the Assembly and Council elections. But the battle begins when we leave this hall today, folks. So let me say this to all members, representatives and candidates. Get out there and meet your electorate. Engage with your local communities. Listen to their concerns, hopes, and discuss with them our vision for a future for Northern Ireland. Start the process of connecting this great party with the grassroots of Northern Ireland tonight. We should be proud of what we have accomplished, but we cannot live on our past achievements. We must never take any vote for granted. Let me also say this. Voters vote for a united, disciplined party. Campaigners require hard work and a united voice. And I will not allow our campaigns to be undermined from within. We achieve more when we work together. We achieve more when we pursue the same goals and the same message. In the run-up to the elections, the UUP has and will continue to have costed, thought-out policies on a wide array of issues, and we will be presenting those policies in the election manifesto and some even before it. We are still setting the agenda, and we will continue to supply the vision for others to follow. We have set the agenda on rebalancing our economy and growing our private sector. We are building new links with innovative business from the creative industries to the stock exchange. We will pursue an export and enterprise strategy for Northern Ireland and a review of Tourism Ireland to ensure that we are maximising our potential as a destination. We will prioritise further and higher education. We are a party that will fight for academic excellence and a resolution to the mess that Sinn Féin and their Minister Caitríona Ruan has left our education system in. We want better government and we will push for reform. From reducing the number of unelected quangos by a third to cutting the cost of the North-South bodies. From seeking an opposition in the Assembly to changing the way the Speaker at the Assembly is selected. Improving efficiencies, effectiveness and accountability. These are the Ulster Unionist Party priorities. We always have and we will continue to plan for our children's future. We have led the debate on cross-cutting early intervention to fight deprivation, and we will fight for a genuinely settled and shared Northern Ireland. The fight for greater social mobility and a reduction in poverty will be led by the vision and pragmatism of the Ulster Unionist Party. These are policies for all of the people of Northern Ireland, policies which address the needs and demands of the electorate, policies which reach out to a new generation, as well as our own core voters. And when these policies are taken to the doorsteps by our dynamic team of candidates in the next few months, then I believe that we will win new votes right across Northern Ireland. The people of Northern Ireland deserve so much better than an ourselves alone agenda from an ourselves alone government. They deserve so much more than the constant fudge. The public deserve so much more than a government which deploys mutual veto to counterbalance mutual distrust. They deserve so much more than an administration which wastes so much energy point scoring that it doesn't have either the time or the inclination to plan for a much broader horizon of potential and possibility. I want a Northern Ireland which puts its difficult past behind it and sets out on a new venture. I want a Northern Ireland in which a genuine, power-sharing, consensual government delivers policies and strategies which we will all have collective ownership of. I want the reality of progress in Northern Ireland and not just the promise of it. And as your leader, I want the Ulster Unionist Party, a strong, united, disciplined and determined party, to finish the job that we started in 1998. And I say to you finally, ladies and gentlemen, members and candidates, let's do this for the loyal people of our party. The loyal people who have either gone before us, or those in the party today, or those the people that will be here in the future. Let's do it for the Tom Flemings and the Bertie Kerrs and the Victor Emersons of this party. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, let's do it for all of us in Northern Ireland. Thank you.